This is KGMI Connects with Joe Tien, a live local show about our community and you. Check it!
And here we are on a Monday, and we're glad you're with us and hope you'll take part in our conversation. Whatever you've got to talk about here on Monday afternoon, we want to hear it. 360-676-5464, whatever your opinion is on that topic you want to discuss. We'll listen to it. Might challenge you a little bit, but everybody's got an opinion, and they're all welcome here. 360-676-5464 is our phone number here on KGMI Connects. And, well, let's get started with Bill north of the city out there in Whatcom County. Hi, Bill.
Hello, this is Bill, and I have a conspiracy theory for you today. The
okay. Now, is this one that you became aware of, or one that you...
This one that I made up.
Okay.
The moon is made of green cheese, and if I were a Democrat and I wanted to, and I thought that I believed that I had power over the listeners and I wanted them to listen to what I had to say, I would be front in line every day or nearly every day. To get on this show, because I believe that that Joe, being someone who would, you know, vote as a Democrat, would kind of tend to favor my opinion over the opinions of others. If he wanted to stop that, he could limit certain callers, or I mean any caller, to one call a week, but. No, there's certain callers that get in here almost every day, and I noticed lately there's a lot of them that have leftist opinions, thinking that they can influence people. So that's my theory for the day here, maybe
okay.
The week.
Well, I don't favor one caller over another, and I, quite frankly, I've got a bunch of callers that call almost every day, and I don't keep any of them from calling whenever they feel inspired to call, and I don't have any intention to, regardless of what their position is on issues or what have you. I've never kept anybody off. The only people that I haven't gotten on are those who call late in the show and I just run out of time. But so
that's a theory.
Okay, all right. But
thank
all
you,
right,
Joe.
Bill. Thanks. And
have a good
don't,
day.
I don't believe that the moon is green, made of green cheese, because I don't think it would have lasted this long, you know. And but you never know if it is, it would be, you know, it would be a protein rich way station, would it not, for our astronauts as they head to Mars and places beyond. But let's go to, he calls almost every day, and I put him on the air almost every day, and he's got views that are even further left than mine. Jim in Bellingham. Hi, Jim.
Oh, hi. Am I allowed on?
Of course you are.
Okay, I'm not breaking any of the rules.
Absolutely not.
I got something that's hopefully uplifting to people that are not necessarily in complete agreement with me, but kind of on my side. There's a good encouragement some people may take from it. I can't prove it.
Okay.
But I also like to say things that most people don't really look at too often, and then maybe they'll look at things I'm looking more often.
Uh-huh.
And I'll also say that my friend Scott from a band, I will say, and one of his songs went, "I know this world is full of hate, but wouldn't you hate to see the good things go? Because I know a lot of people are impervious to any rhetoric, and that's fine. I can only try to persuade, not force. And if they do or don't, at least we've given them the information, the ideas that are elsewhere found. I don't make them all up myself, but I'll just stop on that and say that on Dissident Voice, the website you can look at on the computer, on the internet, it's not that hard to find, and most people have access. I'll recommend what I used to do a lot, was go down to the Bellingham Public Library downtown, and there's computers, there's a whole four rows of them,
uh-huh.
and you can get on for an hour and a half, which I used to do. And now I have a computer, thanks to the communist socialists and anyone else that
okay.
put pressure in my direction. So I'll say this is Patrick Lawrence.
Okay.
It is Consortium News, which is a very good website, I think.
Consortium,
and he says, I do not see fascism in any form anywhere on America's horizon. To call it such is to render ourselves incapable of acting effectively. So that's kind of encouraging, isn't it? I'm not saying we can take him 100% because there's other people that think otherwise, but I'm giving that as a good thing to read and to think about so we don't have to be petrified like Joe from Bellingham, my friend the socialist. I hope to hear from him.
Okay.
And I'll leave it with, well, first I'll say that Patrick Lawrence, his Twitter account has been permanently censored.
Hmm.
And so then there's Chris Hedges, who writes on it. He's fairly famous, maybe not to you, but he's fairly well known on the left. He quoted Immanuel Kant, the famous German philosopher. He says, if justice perishes, human life on earth has lost its meaning.
Okay.
So some of us are trying to advocate for that sort of, and we are left-wingers, and, you know, left-wing can go bad, too, if you don't pay attention and hold them to account and all that. But that's kind of what I wanted to say, and I'm thankful again for letting you allow me to.
All right, Jim. Thanks for your call. And it was Patrick Lawrence?
Yes. Dissident Voice website.
Okay. All right. Well, another name to look up. Someone a little bit different from Jim. Well, I don't know if he's different, but a different person from Jim. So let's move along, and our friend Rod in Bellingham joins us. Hi, Rod.
Hey, that last statement over there was pretty brilliant, and I'll have to, but you know me, I put your feet to the fire at times and giving you a bad time on the air, but
mm-hmm.
we do this civilly.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, And we're not screaming and hollering and crying like little babies. We have a conversation that we can do so without injecting too much emotion. Though we
right.
can, though we are emotional beings, people in general, and so that allows for compassion and whatnot. So, yeah, I mean, imagine if justice was no more. What would be our meaning? And we are kind of seeing that on display every day.
Well,
I mean, so,
well,
you know,
we are, but at the same time, we have people every day striving for justice. And,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's an imperfect world. We're an imperfect species, obviously. And all we can do is really strive for justice. And every case really is going to involve different people and different values, systems of different values and different personalities and people with different experiences. So, you know, each and every legal case or lawsuit or what have you, it involves different people and with different perspectives, you know. So it's,
exactly.
You can write the rules, but then how the game is played, I mean, it's just like, it's like any sporting event, you know, you can boil it all down to, you know, all that. I mean, you know, different players are going to play the game differently to one degree or another under the same rules. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And I think this forum that we have also, I have to respectfully disagree with the first caller. And I mean, like he said, it was a theory, you know, so I'm not saying he's saying that this is going to happen. He wasn't. But I would have to come to your defense and say, no, I mean, you've been kind of the guy who's been whooped on from time to time by us guys gals on the right, and sometimes with far right views, and then other times, you know, I kind of go all over the place, but I probably lean toward the libertarian / Republican side, though my brethren on the libertarian side would say, "Oh, you just messed up because you're supporting some governance," and I'm like, "Well,
yeah,
we gotta have some."
I know exactly. I mean,
so I drive them crazy when I say that. So I'm not a true libertarian either, but
mm-hmm.
I do have a socialist mindset too, in the sense that some people might say the caring side
uh-huh.
of humanity, and I think that we as human beings, because of, okay, say like John that just called. I lean way away from that communist mindset because I don't believe that a new man is ever going to emerge. But, you know, hopefully, maybe, you know. But no, I don't buy that communist side, and I don't like the path that it follows on the socialist side. So I lean away from that. But at the same time, I have to listen to those viewpoints because it might actually either strengthen a viewpoint that I have or lessen the strength of a viewpoint that I might have that would say, hey, wait a minute, because I think that society does owe a debt to humanity in the sense that there are those people who seemingly wouldn't contribute to society, but as time goes on, they offer an antidote if we just listen. At times, oh, whoa, we almost missed that because of our mindset. And for that reason, I don't think that you would bar anybody from calling unless they were, you know, just, you know, had a filthy mouth or just horrible ideas or whatever. Again, there's kind of like that tricky road, the horrible ideas. But I think, you know, common sense, those listening would know that, you know, no one's espousing the death to the society and all
right,
that. I mean,
right.
That's not helpful.
Right.
So, I have to come to your defense on that and say, no, I don't think that you would bar anybody from speaking their point of view. And this forum that we have is really is kind of hard to find on the radio, really, because it's you get people toss you out. They go, well, no, that's not a good idea, or they talk over you or whatever. And I do that at times, too, but I'll talk over, and then they say, oh, we got that guy off next. You know, you don't do that.
Right. Well, and that's a thing. I don't, you know, I guess, you know, I have my own opinions and my own thoughts and I, you know, ideas about what can make the world better. But I guess I'm not, for one thing, I'm conceited. I don't know if there's the right word, but I know that I don't have all the answers, and at the same time, I'm smart enough to know that I'm not going to change a lot of people's opinions, and that's all right. I mean, that's kind of what makes the world go round, isn't it? That we do have our own ideas and thoughts, and but I think,
I agree.
And I've said it many times, I think ultimately our goals are the same. Fundamentally, that we want the world to be a better place, and we want our country to be a better place and a stronger
Agreed.
Country and a better place for our kids to grow up in and their kids and what have you. And how do we do that the best way? And that's where we stray, we disagree, our outlooks stray from each other. And so, but by talking about it, maybe some of your ideas to me sound, well, that's not so bad. And I mean, I've agreed with even some of my, you know, most polar opposite callers as far as our opinions. And
you know, so, I mean, if there's a train coming and I don't like your ideas and you're in the middle of the tracks, I'm still going to pull you away from those tracks.
All right. Well, thanks, Rod.
I'm not going to sit there and let the train hit him because he's got terrible ideas. I mean, that's not the answer.
All right, Rod.
Joe, keep up the good work, brother.
Thanks for your call, and we will. And we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more. We got Doug, Rich, and Bob on the line, and hopefully we'll hear from you, too. 360-676-5464.
The Washington Department of Ecology wants your thoughts about environmental cleanup work at the Plantation Rifle Range in Bellingham. The permit that authorizes that work is now available for review and comment until mid-June. Go to ecology.wa.gov/PRRcomments. That's ecology.wa.gov/PRRcomments.
You've earned your retirement, and you're ready to fully embrace it. So why not do it with style at Meadow Greens Retirement? You'll enjoy active, independent living with amenities like the library lounge, wellness program, and expansive social calendar. Indulge in 3 daily meals made from scratch, get pampered at the on-site salon, and join in for Friday night socials. Meadow Greens is active retirement, the only locally owned retirement facility in the county, with 1 and 2 bedroom apartments with full kitchens offering the freedom of eating in or enjoying a meal at the Outward 9 or the Duck Hook Bistro. Meadow Greens can also be of help when it's time to transition from an independent apartment to assisted living.
Hi, I'm Josh Howe, director here at Meadow Greens. I'd like to personally invite you to come to our community. I look forward to showing you all that we have to offer. Call Meadow Greens today to arrange a private tour at 354 8200 and online at meadowgreenslinden.com. The grass is always greener at Meadow Greens.
Sold to bidder 126.
The May consignment equipment auction at Meridian Equipment in Laurel is now active online through Saturday, the 11th of May. Visit meridianeq.com today to check out the extensive selection of current auction items and place your bid. Bids will be accepted through Saturday, the 11th of May. Meridian Equipment, selling and servicing new and used farm and light industrial equipment for over 70 years. Open weekdays from 8 to 4:30 and Saturdays from 8 till 11:30 on Guide Meridian in Laurel or online at meridianeq.com.
KGMI wants to put a grand in your hand. You could be one word away from a chance to win $1,000.
That's right. Just listen each weekday to KGMI for the keyword during the 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. hours.
Then go to the Grand in Your Hand contest page at mybellinghamnow.com before midnight and enter each keyword for your chance to win $1,000.
We'll have four keywords each weekday so you can increase your chances of winning by entering all four every day we play the contest.
You already listen to KGMI for the latest local news and discussion of the latest issues. Now you can win $1,000 while you do it.
A Grand in Your Hand is brought to you on KGMI by Niederhaus of Luxury, Whatcom County's newest fine jewelry store, next to Lombardi's on Bellwether Way.
A Grand in Your Hand is back on KGMI.
Get details at mybellinghamnow.com.
The Washington Department of Ecology wants your thoughts about environmental cleanup work at the Plantation Rifle Range in Bellingham. The permit that authorizes that work is now available for review and comment until mid-June. Go to ecology.wa.gov/PRR comments. That's ecology.wa.gov/PRR comments.
We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
And just a reminder, with the Grand in Your Hand, this is the last week we'll be playing the game, so be listening for those keywords between the 8 a.m. hour, 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. hours, and get your entry in by midnight each day and have a chance to win $1,000. Well, let's go right back to the phones, what our show is all about. Let's go to Doug in Bellingham. Hi, Doug. Oh, we lost Doug. Bob in Everson is on the line. Hi, Bob.
Hello, Joe.
What's on your mind today, Bob?
Yeah, so, hey, just let's see if I can change your mind a little bit. No.
Okay. All right, sure. Yeah. Have at it.
No, so, hey, I just wanted to talk a little bit about Trump.
Okay.
And I've been seeing a lot of, I mean, it's been going on for years, the fear-mongering of people from the left, be it the media, be it celebrities, Congress, you know, talking about how bad Trump, you know, if he gets in again, he, you know, you hear Hitler, you hear, you know, bloodbath, you hear all these things, right? That the fear that if Trump gets in, and I don't know if these people realize or the people that, you know, pay attention, he was president already. I think people forgot that or something, because last time I checked, he was president for 4 years and he didn't become a dictator. He didn't do all these things that they're talking about now. It's just like what is this fear when we already saw what he did? Let me see here. I can name a few things. Abraham Accord, big part of that, peace in the Middle East, right? That was his deal. Let me see here. He tried to at least stop the border from being completely wide open. One of the lowest border, you know, illegal crossings in, you know, recent time. Highest black and Hispanic job rates, the economy turning out, I mean, pre-COVID, obviously, didn't start wars. Let's see. I mean, there's more, but my point is, I'm just trying to say some stuff here that completely goes counter to the narrative that, you know, they're pushing, where it's just like, well, why do that when you can see there's proof out there? There's, you know, what are they trying to do?
Okay. All right. Well, I'll leave it at that.
All right.
All right, Bob. Thanks.
Didn't change your mind?
No. That's all right. But I won't argue with you. I think there's a lot of rhetoric that's over the top. But a lot of over the top, I think you have to admit, a lot of over the top rhetoric comes from Donald Trump himself. And And what you say is there's a lot of truth to that. You know, we survived 4 years of Trump, and we'll see what happens in November and beyond. Yeah. I just hope that whoever wins and whoever loses will accept the results of the election.
Absolutely.
And we can move forward as a nation with more trust in the system that we've relied on for over two centuries to elect our leaders.
If we can't trust the elections, we have no country. I mean, that's just the bottom line.
All right, Bob. Thanks for your call.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, have a good day.
All right.
Yep.
Let's see. Doug in Bellingham is back. Hi, Doug.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for receiving my call.
You bet.
I called to talk about, communism and socialism have failed, and capitalism is failing now. We're in what's called end-stage capitalism now. So there's the anxiety about what's going to replace it, because none of those work. None of those three work. And what's going to replace them is what's called the stewardship economy. And the stewardship economy recognizes that we own nothing, that we own nothing privately, we own nothing publicly, the state owns nothing, that everything is a gift. And our responsibility as human beings is to be good stewards of the gift we've been given. And that's the only economy that's going to work. Any other economy is going to fail. So the stewardship economy will be what replaces the three failing economies of capitalism, socialism, and communism.
But don't you think there's something to the idea that ownership, that just the concept of ownership or knowing that you own something gives you a sense of pride and would inspire you to take better care of it, say, than something that, I use this, it's not mine, I'll use it and whatever. I mean, there are some people, obviously, they go out of their way to return things they borrow in a better shape than they got them. But a lot of people just kind of, whatever. And, there it is. There it goes. I don't know if you can instill universal values into everyone, and then hence we need laws.
It's not a matter of instilling it.
Okay.
It's already in us.
Okay.
The kindness is already in our innermost being. One can say one's soul or one's true self, authentic self. It doesn't matter. Kindness and cooperation is already born inside of us. It's already there. It doesn't have to be instilled. What gets instilled is the selfishness, and the selfishness is uncried tears. So if I say that I own something, what I'm really doing is I become a slave to that thing. Whatever that thing is, I am enslaved by it because I literally own nothing. Ownership is a delusion.
Well, I understand that. It's true. I mean, it is an illusion. I mean, anything that we value is in a material sense, is an illusion because you can't really own anything because we're not. We're not infinite and perpetual beings. We're finite. We'll have an end, and then we won't own anything. But, I think though, don't you have to admit though, there are some people who just aren't good. For whatever reason, and I think it goes beyond uncried tears, but there are some people that do evil and they don't have a sense of empathy or sympathy or feeling for others or concern for the welfare or the feelings or the well-being of others.
There's one set of people who are born without empathy. They're called psychopaths. But psychopaths still have within them altruism genes and mirror neurons. So once kindness becomes dominant, even the psychopaths will start copying kindness. The only reason psychopaths do evil things is because they're copying the evil that's in our culture. And we aren't born evil. We're born kind and cooperative. That's the way we're born. And so eventually sharing will become the norm. That is, giving to each other will become the norm, because that's the way we're born. It's the way we're made.
How do we make this transition, though, to the stewardship economy? How do we do that? With such, you know, such huge populations and a society that's used to what it's used to.
Well, first of all, we have to recognize that all three of the economies, capitalism, socialism, and communism, will kill us. So it's in our best interest to transfer, to start moving towards the stewardship economy, because capitalism, communism, and socialism will kill us. They are deadly economies. Only stewardship is going to promote our health and well-being, personal health and well-being, communal health and well-being of the environment. So it's in our best interest to make this switch.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll continue our conversation about this, Doug, and continue to ponder it, stewardship economy. And we'll take a quick break. Be back with more. Rich is on the line. He's been holding on. We got Tim, and hopefully hear from you, too. Whatever, here on a Monday. It's freewheeling. And that's the way we like it. 360-676-5464.
Hello, folks. This is Phil George. I'm an elder law and estate planning attorney here in Bellingham, and you might know me as the host of the Aging Hour right here on KGMI. Would you like to learn about how to get your affairs in order? If you have questions about Medicare, Medicaid, long-term care costs, probate, wills, trusts, or anything else that has to do with aging, this is the radio show for you. Studies show that more than 70% of estate plans fail when families need them the most. Join us every Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m. and we can show you how to set your family up for success.
Hi, I'm Henry Winkler. My eyes are very important to me. My eyes connect me with everything I love. I loved my late father-in-law dearly. He always lit up a room, but his vision dimmed with age. He had age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. And since partnering with Apellis, I've learned there's an advanced form of dry AMD called geographic atrophy, or GA. His struggle with vision loss made me want to help others know about GA's warning signs. For some, colors appear dull or washed out. For others, hazy or blurred vision make it hard to see details, like fine print on price tags. Many have trouble seeing in the dark, making driving at night difficult. GA gets worse over time and cannot be reversed. If you think you have GA, don't wait. Treatments are available. Ask a retina specialist about FDA-approved treatments for GA and go to GAWon'tWait.com.
You've got questions about your car or truck? And we have answers on KGMI's In the Shop. Dan from Bellingham Automotive, Brian from Dr. John's Auto Clinic, and Kirk from Angler Automotive are here to help. And we have a great new way for you to get your questions or comments to them. Email them to intheshop@kgmi.com. Then listen each Saturday at 9 a.m. or check out the podcast at mybellinghamnow.com. Once again, that's intheshop@kgmi.com.
The latest local news and important topics of the day from the West Mechanical Studio.
Rest easy in a cool home this summer. Contact West Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical to add AC to your existing system for as little as $140 a month. Find them at westmechanical.net.
Get the latest news and information 24/7 with KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham.
Streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com.
We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects.
360-676-5464.
Good to have you with us here on a Monday, and you can text us at that number as well, 360-676-5464. And Derek says, that's a socialist utopia, and that'll never happen because of fallen human nature. Talking about our last conversation with our caller who said that we should look toward a stewardship economy where we don't own anything. But is it ownership, or is the idea that you can sell something to someone, is that what fuels innovation? I don't know. It's part of the debate and the discussion. But would there be innovation if we didn't own anything? And do we need innovation? Or would we be just happier living like hobbits and growing our food and just existing? Maybe. Getting so used to our mindset of that we need to be productive members of society, but and not that that's a bad thing either. I'm just throwing out some ideas here. But let's go to Rich in Ferndale. Hi, Rich.
How's it going, Joe?
Doing all right.
You know, capitalism is the only economic system that does allow voluntary stewardship by people personally, organizations, nonprofits on a group level, and our government even is very stewardship-minded. We help many nations with aid, money. Look what we're doing for Ukraine, all kinds of military aid, financial aid, food aid to third world countries. So Doug's got it all wrong. There is a stewardship element in capitalism. Look at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, with all the things they donate to. So he's missing half of it. I mean, the Americans and Western nations give great vast sums of money and supplies to places that need it in third world dumps. Yeah, we're not perfect, but it's the least worst of the systems out there. You don't see socialist nations giving to charities like crazy and helping earthquake victims around the world, that sort of thing.
Well, some do, but I think you make a good point that our system does allow the accumulation of wealth that can be used in very positive ways. I mean, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation can bring a lot of resources where if you're just relying on individual, companies, what have you, to, okay, just, do this, or, I'm a concrete company, so I could build bridges in this third world country, but that's all I can do. A foundation like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they've got a lot of money. They can pay all these different entities to actually bring the resources and bring the services to those countries. So, yeah.
So the main reason I called was a recurring story that we hear about pay equity among men and women in the workplace.
Uh-huh.
And I thought a good solution might be the State Department of Labor or maybe even U.S. Department of Labor to file a lawsuit and adjudicate the matter in court for certainty and fairness over a number of years, just like the water adjudication. We should have pay equity adjudication. We could have every employer file stuff with the state, and they could go through all the paperwork, and they could make it fair. They could then rule on it, and we'd have certainty in the future for pay equity.
Okay.
What do you think of that, Joe?
I think you're being facetious, just knowing you.
Well, I am, but however, I think the argument is valid based on the water adjudication. If this is a good thing, we should do it for all the ills that the left thinks exist.
Okay.
We should have a court. To make it really good and totally settled and going forward, everyone would have certainty. Every problem should just, and the longer the court case, the better, right? Because it's going to be better if it takes longer for some reason. I don't understand it, but somehow it's good that this water thing is going to take decades. Somehow there's good in that. I don't understand. But we fought the 1776 Revolutionary War over sham trials that go on for decades. That's why the right to the speedy trial thing was part of the reason we left the British.
Okay. So,
not going to gong show courts for decades. I mean, that's not court. Something that takes decades is just a show, and it's about dragging people through the mud.
Okay.
And the results aren't the problem. It's the motions we're going through. That's the goal.
Okay.
The length of it. But anyway,
there's a water use in our county in this Nooksack Basin that there's nothing to be settled. I mean, everybody should just use whatever the heck they want.
And I'm going to agree with you on something if you let me agree with you.
Okay.
If it took a period of 1 year or less, I would be all for it. Because we can wait a year and have uncertainty and go through some turmoil, but 20 years, unreasonable.
Well, a big part of what drags it out that long is our legal challenges to it and other entities coming in. I had an interesting conversation with a person who's pretty well versed on all this about they're going to be some of these ag interests that aren't even, they're not local. Some of these corporate ag interests that are going to swoop in with their lawyers and are going to challenge all different aspects of this, and some with legitimate claims or sounding seemingly legitimate claims, and others with probably frivolous kind of claims. But that's what any kind of action like this, you know, attracts.
Wouldn't it make more sense for the state to just do its job in regulating and keep things out of the court? See, if everything went to court, Joe, we would never get anywhere. That's why we have government entities to regulate various different things that are under their purview. And what's happened in the last 50 years, the state ecology has done nothing for water rights. They have not issued a new water right in over 50 years because they've been threatened by other entities such as the tribes that you can't do that, you can't issue water right. And then so they just sit there and do nothing, and that's what they've done for 50 years. And now we're to the point where they think it has to go to court because it's been 50 years of nothing.
All right.
Well, it's a lack of doing their job that brought us to this point.
The best way to do all this, I'm the wrong one to talk about that. But all right, Rich, we know you're not down with the adjudication, but yeah. All right, let's go to Tim in Everson. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Joe. So I've watched the Kentucky Derby for many, many years with a good friend of mine. And she's more liberal than I, and I'm more conservative than her. Okay, so we each pick a horse. We don't bet. We just do it for fun. It probably is the most exciting 2 minutes in sports, period. And she picked a horse, Forever Young. And I said, why are you taking that horse? And she said, she's so beautiful. And I said, oh, it's a filly? And she goes, well, I'm not sure. And I said, well, why'd you say that? Because the horse is so beautiful. And I said, I don't think the horse is a filly. And she said, can fillies run in this race? And I said, oh, yeah, they can. And they've done, I don't know if one's won it, but they've done pretty good. They've been very respectable in this race.
Was that a male?
Yeah.
I'm not a horse guy, but.
And she said, well, we watched the Kentucky Oaks yesterday. Were there any boy horses running in there? And I said, no, it's not allowed. And she said, why not? And I said, because they have a physical and biological advantage. And like I said, she's way more liberal than me.
Well, I'm just looking up three fillies. Only three fillies have managed to triumph in the famed Kentucky Derby. Regret in 1915, Genuine Risk in 1980, and Winning
Genuine
Colors.
Genuine Risk
in 1988.
Yeah, and I bet you Genuine Risk didn't finish all that bad in the Derby. I don't recall, but Winning Colors wasn't that bad either.
Well, they both won. This was in those particular years.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. I remember Genuine Risk.
She won in 1980.
And I told her they've given them a run for the money. But I just, and she made a
they
kind
immediately
of
immediately transitioned then following. And
now that's funny stuff. I don't care who you are. but, you know, take it for what it is. Uh-huh. She asked me, well, then why, if the boys can't run in the Oaks, because we watched the Oaks the day before.
Okay.
She said, why can the girls run in the boys' race? And I just said, think about it. She said, well, boys are competing in girls' sports now. And then I said, leave it there. I'm not touching it.
All right. Probably a smart thing when you're hanging out with a friend, but. All right, Tim.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay.
Good conversation. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more. We hope to hear from you. 360-676-5464. Back in 2 minutes.
What he's saying is we have to do the right things every day to earn happy customers.
Customer service is something you have to work on daily. This is not something you gather up every quarter or 6 months. It requires a lot of intention and energy. Well, the goal is to do that, treat everybody like a millionaire. I hold my employees accountable to a different level, and we still fall short. I fall short. It's hard. It's hard to maintain a really solid, good customer service, but that's something that we have taken on ourselves, and we're not going to change that, because if something comes out of our hearts, we enjoy taking care of people and enjoy doing the right things. In my heart, I feel that you have to do the right things, regardless. If they sound good, don't sound good, they look good, don't look good, you still have to do the right things so you can go to sleep at night and feel like you've done well.
Xavier's Bellingham Nissan. We take care of our customers.
Some call it overplanning. At TSE Power Solutions in Ferndale, we call it foresight. Be prepared for the next power outage with a Generac home standby generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac generator automatically restores your home's power, whether you're home or away. Generac, it's not just a generator, it's a power move.
TSE Power Solutions does it all. Installation to maintenance, residential and commercial. In Ferndale, formerly Tom Sutton Enterprises. Keeping futures bright since 2007.
Do you own a successful company, or do you have a favorite business you want to celebrate? Business Pulse Magazine's annual list of top 100 private companies in Whatcom County is coming soon. To be considered, just go to WhatcomBusinessAlliance.com and complete the brief survey. Whatcom County's top 100 companies will appear in the 2024 July-August issue of Business Pulse Magazine. Make the list. Go to WhatcomBusinessAlliance.com and take the survey by June 7th.
We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
Thanks for joining us on this Monday afternoon. Let's go to Robert in Bellingham. Hi, Robert.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was hearing Doug's call, and he was saying that we're born benevolent.
Uh-huh.
And at the same time, you know, but I think it, I wouldn't agree with that totally, because I think we're born both benevolent and evil at the same time. I think we have both, because we are an animal species, and you see animals sometimes treat each other horribly. They eat each other and they fight, and we have those emotions in us. We have anger and we have very bad, but we also have very good. And so I think that's the role of society, that because we're intellectual, we can try and work toward a better society, rather than just saying we're born one way or the other. I think we've got both capabilities. So we do need some of the structures in society, but I think we can toward the good side.
Yeah, and we've, like you say, we've got the intellect to understand, or hopefully understand, our emotions and what drives our actions, and thereby mitigate them when they need to be mitigated. But and also to help push us forward when we need that at an extra oomph, you know.
Yeah, and I think just crying tears wouldn't be enough. I think it's good that people can cry, but I think we need things that are more fun too, to motivate us to do better. And I think money is a tool, but I think we are too addicted to money. But it is kind of an accounting tool, and I'm kind of a moderate. I believe in a better society and to strive toward a beneficial world. But at the same time, you know, I'm not against corporations or business or, you know, even a little bit of competition. I think we overemphasize competition too much. But I think we overemphasize money, but I don't think corporations are necessarily always bad. We sometimes need these structures to survive, to have a complex society as we do. Mm-hmm. And I definitely believe that we could do better. I think we've met the enemy, and the enemy, to some extent, the enemy is us. And and the way we live is what's most important. You know, if we're worried about global warming, we're people probably driving too much. And, you know, I'm sort of a socialist, but in an old-fashioned sense. I wouldn't call myself a socialist, but I think Western Europe does things pretty well, where they do have corporations, they have freedom of speech, they have competition. They're kind of similar to us, but, they have we now have more health care, but for a long time we had no health insurance if you weren't wealthy, to speak. But now with Obamacare, we got it. But Texas doesn't want it. But I just believe we can have a give capitalism a happier face, I guess.
All right.
More compassion.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Robert. Appreciate your thoughts there. And yeah, I mean, just the idea of ownership, and because I mean, it make yeah. I think on one hand, owning is really good, but on the other hand, say you need a tool to, you know, you need something to do something in the yard once, just once a year. And it's kind of nice. Wouldn't it be nice to have some place or have somebody you could borrow that from? Or like we have companies that rent stuff, and you can go, you know, I don't need this giant trailer all the time sitting in my driveway and everything, but by golly, I've got an old refrigerator. I got to get to the dump, and I need to rent this trailer, and then rent it, get the thing out of there, and then take it back. And it's to have that sharing in that, you know, in that sense. But and I know that's renting. You know, we're talking about money exchange again. But Steve in Ferndale's on the line. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Oh, that's good to hear. What a beautiful day, eh?
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be like sunny all week, and by the week, it's going to hit like 80.
That's what I'm hearing, yeah.
Yeah, water your gardens, everybody, because it's coming up. I have to respond to the guy that called earlier about Donald Trump. Okay. People are just the left. We're just getting him all wrong. And like,
okay.
We're not getting him wrong. All you have to do is listen to what he says he's going to do. As president, he's going to weaponize the DOJ, go after his political opponents. He's going to use the military. He's going to ignore posse comitatus. I'm not making this up. He says this. Oh, well, the military to go after American citizens. I'm sorry, if you live here, you're a citizen. You know, put them in. He calls them detention camp. Let's see, it's a camp where you concentrate people. I think there's a word for that.
Okay.
He's going to be dictator on day one. He's also put out tweets saying that maybe we should just ignore the Constitution if it doesn't get him what he wants. The Heritage Foundation with their Project 2025, they're right now, they're auditioning people who are personally loyal to Donald Trump. He's also said he's going to do that. He's going to fire everybody in the civil service. These are people that don't care who's president. It's a job. You know, the government needs a lot of clerks and people that can use computers and stuff like that. They're going to replace them all with Trump loyalists. This is not America.
Okay.
This is not what the United States is supposed to be like. All you've got to do is listen to what Donald Trump says he's going to do, and you have to believe him, because we know. In my opinion, Joe, he's the most unfit person who's ever been president. He's running on revenge. Revenge.
All right.
Just revenge against people he thinks have slighted him. And
well, that is part of his rhetoric. All right. Well, Steve, we'll leave it at that. We've got competing takes on Donald Trump here on the show today, which I think is good, just back and forth. Let's see. We got a couple of minutes left, and Michelle in Bellingham's on the line. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Joe. I just want to, before I comment a little bit on Doug's call about stewardship, I just want to let an event that was held this past weekend in track and field speak for itself without further comment. At the Liberty League track and field championships, that's a league for small colleges back east. A runner from the Rochester Institute of Technology, who says he's a woman but is really a biological man, won the 200 meters. In slightly over 24 seconds, and won the 400 meters in slightly over 55 seconds, and set school records for women, even though he's not a woman. And he set school records for, he has all of his plumbing as far as I know, but the school records were set in one meet record, and he also qualified for the National Division III championships later this month in South Carolina. And this is, he deprived two deserving biological women of league championships. But worst of all, his times would have been last in the men's championships. And I'll let that go right from that point. Okay, Doug's call. I truly respect Doug's idealistic sincerity, and I respect it, I really do, but he could not possibly be more wrong. Human beings are competitive by their very nature, and those who don't like capitalism, for whatever reason, generally tend to be people who don't like to compete. Now, I am a total thoroughgoing gay female competitor in every way I can be. All of my life, I have competed to the nth degree in everything. And I would have been miserable not being able to compete. Now, I haven't won all the time, not by a long shot, but I've won a lot more than I've lost in various aspects of life. And all I can say is that what he's talking about, this stewardship economy, It would be, there are aspects of it that are nice, and there are aspects of it that are cool when you can help your neighbor and et cetera, et cetera. But the reality is, if people don't own things, they get, most people get very, very frustrated real quick. And capitalism is by far, it's got its flaws, it needs regulation, it needs to be watched. But it's by far the best economic system that this world has ever seen. And as proof of that, I'll just hang up by saying, look at the United States of America. And even though we have our flaws, for sure, we are the greatest country in the history of the world. And that'll be it for today. Thanks,
all right,
Joe.
Michelle, thanks for your call. And I mean, those who espouse communists not being competitive, I guess there's some proof that dispels that. I mean, Lenin was obviously, very competitive, wanted to compete against capitalism and what he saw as being a destructive force, a destructive economic force. So he took it on. That's competing, is it not? I mean, I'm just saying and I'm not praising Lenin, but, communist countries, they quite famously competed with the rest of the world for influence and even in athletic events. Speaking of athletics, think about all the Soviet teams and then the Miracle on Ice occurred. But great to have you with us. Great conversation today about a lot of different topics and discussions we can continue tomorrow. Come up with new ones. What our show is all about. And everybody is welcome. I don't keep anybody off. And so hopefully you'll join us tomorrow. 360-676-5464 is our phone number. Put it in your phone and save it and give us a ring tomorrow, 4 o'clock, KGMI Connects.